SBS Radio.
Since the start of May, Victoria has been undertaking a COVID-19 testing blitz, which the government has been using to guide its gradual easing of restrictions. Premier Daniel Andrews now says testing numbers have far exceeded the state government's projections.
We have in fact now done 174,000 tests since May 11. So that's 24,000 more than our target, fully a week ahead of schedule. So at this rate, by the end of May, we will have well over 200,000 tests. That's what gives us options.
As a result, outdoor playgrounds, skate parks and communal gym equipment will reopen this week. From next week, tourist accommodation and libraries will reopen and gatherings of up to 20 people in homes as well as outdoors will be allowed. From the 22nd of June, with some limitations, gyms, cinemas and ski resorts will be back in business, while museums, cafes and restaurants will be allowed up to 50 patrons. It still leaves Victoria behind several other states, but Mr. Andrews is defending his more cautious approach to lifting restrictions.
This is all about opening up again, but doing so because we've got so many test results and we can be confident about how much virus is out there in the Victorian community. It's about taking slow, cautious, steady, graduated and safe steps so that we do this once and do it properly.
Across Australia, more restrictions are being eased, with only a handful of new daily COVID-19 infections being reported nationally. New South Wales is celebrating the reopening of zoos and reptile parks from the 1st of June, along with beauty salons, a move Health Minister Brad Hazzard reveals he's been lobbied hard to make.
Petting salons, nail salons, waxing salons. It's certainly been a very earnest effort from a lot of people to make sure that we reopen. I've even had text messages in the middle of other meetings telling me how bad the acrylic nails are. I didn't even know there were such a thing as acrylic nails, but I now know that.
Further north in Queensland, Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk has announced a $51 million package to help community sports get back up and running.
We start seeing the rugby league come back and the AFL come back. We also need to make sure that we're giving our young kids every opportunity. So there will be some changes about how parents will observe the sport, but fundamentally it's about making sure that our young kids have the best opportunity.
Perhaps the restriction that's been the most contentious across the state is the one that kept school children at home. This week, across all states, students will return to the classroom in one form or another. In Queensland and New South Wales, they'll be going back full-time. Along with extra workers heading back to the office, it presents a logistical challenge for authorities with increased traffic and public transport congestion expected. To avoid overcrowded trains and buses, parents are encouraged to drop their children off at school. In Sydney, officers will monitor social distancing on the train network. New South Wales Transport Minister Andrew Constance says there will also be a thorough cleaning regime to maintain hygiene standards.
We see trains cleaned at about four times a day. We've got roaming teams of cleaners right across the network. Our buses are cleaned twice a day. So we are just working around the clock to keep every vehicle spotless and try and ensure that we don't see any risk to a second wave of COVID infections as a result of the transport network. It is the high-risk area. It is the area where people can be crowded. And to that end, we just want to ensure that we keep everybody safe.
While Australia starts to reopen, there are constant reminders of the ongoing dangers posed by the pandemic, both domestically and internationally. Monash University researchers have warned of a second wave of coronavirus infections and hospital admissions between mid-June to mid-July due to the loosening of social distancing restrictions. Associate Professor Christopher Pierce says of particular concern will be people with chronic illnesses who have been unable or unwilling to seek their usual ongoing medical care.
So mental health in particular, we've seen an upswing in people presenting with mental health conditions and requiring drugs for that. And we're also seeing, I think, the preventive care that's dropped off. And if they don't attend their general practices, well, we think that in the next 3 to 4 months, there'll be an uptick in the more severe illnesses, heart disease, strokes and so forth.
The death of a Victorian man over the weekend has brought the national coronavirus fatality total to 102. It highlights the fact that while the country has been successful in flattening the curve, the virus is still prevalent in the community. And you can stay up to date on coronavirus in your language at sbs.com.au/coronavirus.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.